This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. On the way later on Cincinnati Edition, you'll hear about a new exclusive documentary on the WCPO website that follows six Cincinnati Ballet second company dancers through the 2013-2014 season as they chase their first jobs in professional ballet. A rare glimpse into the trials, triumphs, and disappointments of these young dancers. And one of them will be in the studio with the documentary's creator. First, though, from new beginnings to the end. It's a U.S. National Historic Landmark and the second largest cemetery in the country. Cincinnati's Spring Grove Cemetery and Arboretum is the resting place of thousands, and its monuments and tombs, landscaped gardens and groves have been a draw to citizens since 1844. What stories can you tell about Spring Grove? What catches your eye when you visit for a funeral or a walk? Share your stories by calling 513-419-7100. That's 419-7100. Email talk at WVXU.org, post on the WVXU Facebook page, or send us a tweet. Joining me with a few of the stories he's collected and shared in his new book, Stories in the Grove, published by Orange Fraser Press, is Phil Nuxall. Phil, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
I am thrilled to be here.
Glad to have you along this afternoon, because I've been reading all these stories and it is incredible. Some of the stories that you found for this new book, you mentioned you're often asked, we'll start at the beginning, who was the first person buried in Spring Grove Cemetery? And that's a little difficult to answer.
It is a little tricky, because the first two to be buried in Spring Grove were young girls. They were interred in 1845, and they were reinterred to Orena, Wisconsin, about 20 years later. So they are no longer in Spring Grove Cemetery in Arboretum. So officially, Martha Louisa Ernst is the first person, and she's still there.
She's still there.
She hasn't gone anywhere.
And was she one of the ones that was actually reinterred from a different cemetery?
Absolutely, because you probably already know this. There were three cemeteries directly across the street from Music Hall, Washington Park. And most of those bodies were reinterred to Spring Grove, other various cemeteries. But we have most of those bodies that were reinterred, because they predated the cemetery. A lot of people will say, what's the oldest monument, per se, something like that? And I have to tell them the oldest monument, or at least the one we think is the oldest, didn't start out at Spring Grove. It was downtown in one of those three cemeteries and moved. The Gonneau family monument, which Ted Gans, our noted sculpture guru, claims that it's the oldest piece of outdoor sculpture in the city.
Really?
And it's in Spring Grove.
Wow.
A museum without walls.
Well, let's go back to the beginning, back to the mid-1800s. How did Spring Grove come about? You mentioned the three cemeteries right across from Music Hall. So, I mean, just a block away from where we're sitting right now.
Yes.
That was, I guess at the time, the outskirts of Cincinnati.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So now, how did the leap make it to Spring Grove down the way?
Yeah, well, those three cemeteries, among others, there were around 20 to 23 smaller graveyards, burial grounds, what have you, in the kind of the basin of Cincinnati. And those, due to the cholera epidemic and other, you know, kind of tragic things that happened during Victorian times, they filled up quickly. And in addition to being not a lot of space left for burials, Victorians like to clutter everything. I remember when I was a kid going with my granny in downtown Hamilton. We'd cross the river on a bus and visit her little kind of Victorian lady friends. And I remember sitting in those parlors looking at all this stuff everywhere. And your eye doesn't know where to go first. You're always distracted. Well, Victorians, in addition to cluttering up their homes, they cluttered up cemeteries. So those three cemeteries in particular became very cluttered, fenced in. They loved to fence in their private lots. So it was the Cincinnati Horticulture Society that decided, we're done with this. We want a beautiful cemetery to be almost like a beautiful park, which is exactly what happened. So they went out to the country which is where Spring Grove is today.
Speaking with Phil Nuxhall, the author of Stories in the Grove, a new book available where books are sold. If you have a story about Spring Grove or a question about something that's caught your eye when you've visited there, give us a call at 513-419-7100. Well, you talked about the clutter and the fencing and the Victorians. I must be Victorian, Phil, because if you open up my garage door and look at it, it is cluttered. So.
I know a lot of people like that.
Not quite in the same style as the Victorians,
right?
But it goes. Well, but let's start with Adolf, is it Strauch?
Strauch, yes.
Yes, who is the man most responsible for how Spring Grove looks today, because he tried to take the clutter out of Victorian clutter.
And he took almost every bit of it out. He really did. He was the third person that was hired to landscape Spring Grove. So he didn't come along until around 1855. And he was also hired, in addition to being the master landscaper, gardener, the superintendent of the cemetery. And he was the first person in America that said, we're done with this clutter.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make this place look like a beautiful scenic park. So he was able to talk the lot owners into taking every piece of fencing down. So you will not see any fencing, at least from that era, in Spring Grove. And he came up with a new plan for burial. Prior to Adolf Strauch, you were allowed to have multiple upright markers on your private lot. And he said, no, from then on, one piece of beauty, a centerpiece, maybe a sculpture, maybe just a beautiful tree in the center of the lot, and then everybody's buried around or near that with low-lying flat stones so that it opens up the vistas. When you go to Spring Grove today, you do feel like you are in a beautiful park.
And you cover those, many of those vistas in your first book that were pictures in the grove.
Right.
So, you know, gorgeous sights. And, of course, a lot of, you say no fences. I mean, and there are monuments there, but everyone notices that big stone wall going down, what is it, Winton Road.
Winton Road.
So where did that stone wall come from?
Well, it was done by the firm of Elsner & Anderson. Elsner & Anderson's very well known in the architecture world in Cincinnati. They did a lot of our notable buildings. It is considered, or was considered, the longest continuous stone wall in the Midwest, I believe.
Really?
And I've heard engineers say things like, you know, there's not even a break. There's no seams. They are just blown away at the craftsmanship of that wall. And it's magnificent. Yeah.
So how big is Spring Grove? 700-some acres, I remember?
About 743 acres. And it will take, according to the experts, between 350 and 500 years before Spring Grove is, so to speak, filled up.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's planning beyond anybody's imagination.
Well, and because right now there are, I think I read somewhere, I was talking to you before we went on there, it's 200,000 plus people buried in Spring Grove?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of people, and that's a lot of stories.
A lot of stories.
Everybody has one.
Well, let's talk about how you gathered these stories together, because I believe in the book, if I counted correctly, if you may, there are 115 stories that you have, but you collected quite a few more than that, I know. How did you come – what started you on this quest?
Well you know, before I even started on doing Beauty in the Grove, the coffee table book, I knew that I wanted to tell, you know, the stories behind the people buried in Spring Grove, but I couldn't do it in one book. So I had to choose, do I want the first book to be about the stories or beautiful coffee table book? And I chose the coffee table book because I just wanted to expose Spring Grove, you know, to the world. There are too many people that have never heard of Spring Grove or have never visited. So I feel like I, you know, did a good job with that. But everybody that has that book consistently, oh my gosh, Phil, I want to know more. I want to know about these people. So that's what inspired the book. And when I went to the wonderful, I call them the Hawley sisters at Orange Fraser Press, I told them that I wanted as many stories as possible to be in this book, not knowing at that time how many. So the first thing I had to do is sit down with, I had a clipboard and a paper, and I started making a list of who I thought would be book worthy. Who's got a really good story I can include in the book? I did not pay attention to how many I was writing down until I finished the list. And when I finished the list, I counted, 600 book-worthy stories.
And what did the Hawley sisters tell you when you brought 600?
They rolled their eyes because we went through this with Beauty in the Grove because I wanted it to be all-inclusive. And Phil, you know, less is more, less is more. So I had to whittle 600 book-worthy stories down to 100. Actually, down to 100. But as the book process went along, Marcy would call me and she'd say, we need to add one more story. And then we ended up adding 15 stories.
Phil Nuxall talking about Stories in the Grove, his new book about stories from Spring Grove Cemetery. Some about people, some about the cemetery and the monuments themselves. What stories do you have to tell about Spring Grove? What catches your eye when you visit? Give us a call at 513-419-7100. That's 419-7100. Michael from Findlay Market, you're on Cincinnati Edition. Good afternoon.
Hi, Michael.
Good afternoon. Hey, how are you, Mr. Nuxall?
Excellent. So glad you called.
I have been prowling in there photographing for over 20 years, and actually there was a period of about 4 years when I averaged 3 days a year in there.
Just 3 days?
just 3 days, and that's an average, and I'm talking 52
that's great.
Weeks.
Great.
So it's a magnificent place. And in fact, when your buddy, whose name I've just, I can't recall at the moment, from Ohio Magazine was shooting for the last book,
yes,
I would buddy up with him and take him to a lot of my favorite points to shoot.
Mm-hmm. Randall Schaber. Randall, yeah.
And we actually went in after, with permission, went in with after hours and did some shooting that would be impossible otherwise.
Right.
But what I wanted to say was I recommend Spring Grove to architectural students and students of decorative arts because there is no one place. Now it's huge. Nevertheless, there's no one place I know of where there's a concentration of decorative elements, moldings in particular, but all kinds of decorative elements from every period in history, a lot of revival stuff,
mm-hmm.
but oftentimes very accurate, beautiful stuff in such a concentration. And in particular, the thing that always pops into my mind is General Tooker, the red granite up on the hill above the lakes there. That sarcophagus above ground is one continuous group of moldings, one piled on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. It's quite gorgeous, but I always recommend it to architectural students. I mean, the Grove is wonderful for anything.
You get it, Michael. That's wonderful. Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Michael, for your call. And that is, you talk about it in the book here, Phil, a lot of talk about some of these mausoleums and a lot of the architecture that's there. What the Dexter Mausoleum, I think, that very gothic, super gothic. If
the ballet, Cincinnati Ballet used that as a backdrop when they did Dracula many years ago for their posters.
Yes.
I love that. I thought that was so cool.
But yes, the architecture here that goes through the ages is just amazing.
It's mind-blowing. It just really is. And as Michael said, you're not going to find a greater collection of every type of artwork. Architecture, landscape for sure. My gosh. Then Spring Grove Cemetery and Arboretum.
513-419-7100, the number to call to talk about Spring Grove Cemetery with Phil Nuxall, the author of Stories in the Grove, available now where books are sold. Eileen from Morrow. Hello, you're on Cincinnati
Hi, Eileen.
Edition.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
I'm ready. Great. Give me a good question.
Oh, no, it's not a question.
Or just
My grandmother was born in Spring Grove Cemetery.
Oh, this sounds good, Eileen.
Yes,
tell me.
I know. Well, her dad was a caretaker there, and at the time they would live there up by the stables, I guess.
Right.
And so, and then being a good German family, they, besides her being born there, she wasn't buried there, but she was born there, they would have, lots of beer drinking parties, and so they would also bury a keg in Spring Grove, and they buried their cow, Bessie. also in Springfield.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Fun, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, because Spring Grove's never allowed animal burials. And you just told me Bessie's there. Who knew?
Yes,
I know
there,
of one animal, a dog.
I was going to say,
snuck in.
You do have a story in your book about how there, while pets are not allowed to
old
be buried,
man. Yeah.
But yes, there is one there.
Oh, that's great.
Well, thank you for your story, Eileen. That is quite a slice of history, and thanks for calling.
Yes, it's a story I love to share with people. So.
Okay. Fantastic. Appreciate it.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Eileen.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Joe from Fort Mitchell, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, Joe.
Oh, hi, Phil. How are you?
Great.
Good. I thought always one of the most beautiful spots in the cemetery is Strauch Island.
You bet.
And I've been there, and obviously it's named after Adolf Strauch and his family's there. But I always wondered, I saw a few other graves there or markers with other family names, and I thought I had read that, you know, if it was limited to the Strauch family, or do you know about those other graves?
I sure do.
Who can be buried there?
Yeah,
okay.
Those are all Strauch family members.
They are, okay.
Yes.
Huh.
One of them, you know, the ones that don't have the Strauch name were, you know, the daughters married somebody else, you know, with a different name. And
okay.
The first time I realized this was when Adolf Strauch's great-great-granddaughter, Cassie Eckhart from St. Louis, called me and told me that they were having a family funeral on the island. And I didn't recognize the last name, but it was because it was, you know, the aunt married somebody else. And I ended up they invited me to the service. I had never met these people. And then they asked me to give them a tram tour directly after the service. And a lot of people have heard this story that it occurred on the most beautiful day I could ever remember. And as soon as the service started, it was a small service, and I'm not exaggerating, the two swans came out of nowhere around the lake, turtles came up out of the water, birds are flying, and as I say, it was like a Walt Disney movie.
Yeah.
But that's the karma, the aura of Adolf Strauch. Mm-hmm. I mean, his presence is just, you know, it's there. It follows me. It really follows me.
Yeah, I can relate to what you're saying.
Great.
And didn't he also have a hand in the Eden Park?
Oh, yeah, Eden Park, Burnett Woods, and he started at Mount Storm Park. That was his, you know, his tour de force, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for calling. Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking stories about Spring Grove. If you have a question or a story, call us at 419-7100. Johnny from Westwood, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Johnny Westwood, hi.
Afternoon, fellas.
Good afternoon.
Got a good story?
I have a little bit of a story and just some advice that I found. I thought Spring Grove was a wonderful place. My grandpa was failing with his health and everything, and I found Spring Grove to be my therapy.
Wow.
It's just a beautiful place where I was kind of just in the mindset that if that next life looks like Spring Grove, I'd be okay with that.
You could not have said it better, and I totally feel that. I totally believe that. That is sweet.
Well, thank you, Johnny.
So, if anyone ever has any family that is failing in health, I think that's a place to go after they leave. Just think about it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Soothing.
Well, thank you, Johnny. 513-419-7100, Cincinnati Edition. We're talking about Joe Nuxall and his new book, Stories
that would be
in
Phil.
The Grove. Phil, excuse me.
I'm used to it.
I was on automatic pilot there for a minute because I was looking at the picture on the cover of the book, Phil, and I was going, what is this picture? You know, it says Stories in the Grove. Here's an elephant about to stomp on a fella.
Yeah, what's that about?
What is this about? You know.
Oh, I love this. I love this story. The story about the cover of the book. When I sat down with Marcy Hawley at Orange Fraser Press, we were discussing what to put on the cover. Beauty in the Grove, the cover is just breathtaking. It's so beautiful, and it's about the landscape, and then there's some sculpture on it. And I told her, I said, I don't want the cover of this book to say cemetery, death, mourning. I want it to be curious. I want it to be somewhat fun because this book is about the people. about stories. And this was her idea. And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't see what she had done until, you know, she showed me and, said, what do you think? And I almost started crying because it was like exactly what I had imagined. You know,
I mean,
we got
an elephant. The elephant takes up most of the cover.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. And that's Tilly. Tilly, the famous elephant from John Robinson's circus. Mm-hmm. That is John Robinson lying in the street looking like he's being trampled by Tilly, and Tilly didn't harm him,
right,
of course. Now, Tilly is not buried in Spring Grove. Tilly's over in Terrace Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but John and his family are, they have a beautiful kind of a Gothic shrine-looking monument.
We're talking about Spring Grove Cemetery, the second largest cemetery in the nation and on the U.S. National Historic Register,
well,
right?
Well, now we are a National Historic Landmark. That's as high as you can get.
Wow.
You know, in historic status, yeah.
Well, and you can tell from these stories in your book that there's a lot of history there, and, you know, just not only for its longevity, but for what goes on. Just,
right.
Fascinating. Richard from Clifton, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
My old hood, I miss Clifton. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Phil. This is Richard. I have two very brief questions. Number one, the Vine Street Hills Cemetery, is that of the same era? It reminds
it
me a little bit of it, not as noble as Spring Grove.
Mm-hmm.
The second question I have is the Civil War monument is cast in Munich by the same people who did the
Tyler Davidson's fountain
square, yeah, as well as the Schiller monument in Columbus.
Oh.
How did that come to be? What's the background on getting that Civil War soldier in there?
Well, actually, it was a group of ladies whose husbands were fighting in the Civil War, and they, as far as I understand, they kind of like took up a collection to raise funds because they wanted some type of monument. Now, originally, the monument was going to be, oh, I'm trying to think, if it was an obelisk, you know, kind of a generic type of funerary structure. And then they eventually decided that they wanted a statue, a figurative statue or a allegorical statue, because the sentinel or soldier of the line, as he's called, is representing all of the Civil War dead in Spring Grove Cemetery. And that's why he's facing in the direction of the Civil War section. But the model was done by a very famous sculptor by the name of Randolph Rogers in Rome. And after he did the model, they shipped them off to Munich in the foundry that did the Tyler Davidson fountain, cast him in bronze.
Oh, and thanks, Richard, for that connection with the statue up in thing up in Columbus as well.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. That's great.
Well, thank you for your call, Richard. We're talking about Spring Grove Cemetery and Phil Nuxall's book, Stories in the Grove, available where books are sold. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You can join the conversation, share a story, 513-419-7100, or talk at WVXU.org. Send us an email. Stacy lives in Spring Grove Village. Stacy, you're on the air.
Cool.
Hi, I just had a comment, really. I'm lucky enough to live in Spring Grove Village, which, of course, borders Spring Grove Cemetery, and how myself and many of my neighbors all like to go walking or running, and I go over there with the intention of getting a good workout, and I get distracted by...
Oh, tell me about it, Stacy.
I know I'm wandering around and reading them, and, you know, my heart rate, meanwhile, is plummeting, you know? But it's a beautiful place, and to me, this is the most beautiful time of year there with the weeping cherry trees, and it's just gorgeous. But that was all, and I can't wait to read your book.
Oh, thank you so much, Stacy. Make sure you come over and let me sign your book. I would love that.
Yes. By the way, Phil is going to do a book signing at Joseph Beth Booksellers in Rookwood Pavilion on May 8th at 7 o'clock. His opening act is Garrison Keillor that day, who will be there at noon, by the way.
So. Sharing the bill with Garrison Keillor.
That's going to be a
surreal.
513-419-7100. Donna from Monroe, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, Donna.
Hello. I'm sorry if there's a train in the background. I got off the expressway to make this call.
I love trains.
So do I, but not so close. I used to work at College Hill Presbyterian Church, which is just a couple of hills away from the cemetery. And I learned early on in my almost 20 years there that if I wanted to get away from what was happening in my music ministry, going down to Spring Grove Cemetery with my lunch and sitting on a bench or sitting by the lake or going over to the castle was a great way to unwind. I thought it was a wonderful place. And in fact, our entire staff would have an annual picnic down there. There was about 30 of us at that time.
Sure.
So when my now former daughter-in-law came for a visit, we went down to Spring Grove Cemetery for lunch. She was horrified. She's from Arkansas.
I can't tell you how often I hear this type of story.
People all around.
Yeah.
She just
You're taking me where? To a cemetery?
She told everybody, you know why she took me for lunch?
You showed her, didn't you?
Well, we didn't think anything of it because there's a lovely, peaceful, beautiful, I agree with Stacy, and I will have to get your book to look at those wonderful places I remember. Monroe is a little far from Spring Grove, so I don't get there anymore. But I remember those picnics and lunchtimes just as very special times in my life. So,
I do the same thing. I have a specific bench that I sit on and have my lunch, and it's like being in paradise.
Well, thank you, Donna.
It is, and it was a great place. You know, us church people, we did lots of quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd take my Bible and read there and study and feel very close to God.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of other people there who had already gone to meet him.
There you go. That's great.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much for your book and your writing. I appreciate being able to give my opinion.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Appreciate that.
And this has been something that Spring Grove has been known for since the very beginning, and that is attracting visitors, not just for funerals or memorial services. And early in the day, they had those scofflaws who liked to race carts, right?
So. Yeah. And as a result, there's a jail that was put in the basement of the Norman Chapel. A lot of people don't know that. And it is, as far as I understand, a result of people racing their horse and carriages on Spring Grove Avenue. If you've been to Spring Grove Avenue, you know how wide it is compared to our other streets. And during the 1800s, people liked to race up and down Spring Grove Avenue, and apparently the neighbors did not like that. They complained, and then the police said, you can't do that anymore. So they said, well, we'll show them. We'll race in the cemetery. And, of course, so, the board of directors didn't care for that, so they had a guard at the gatehouse who was kind of in charge of keeping things in order, and they had to stop racing. But what they did is they, before that happened, they were arresting the drivers and putting them, they were incarcerated in the basement of the Norman Chapel. And the bars are still intact in the windows.
But the door's not on there anymore.
Right. That, the door's not on there. I think I make mention in the story that, you know, be careful. We can always put that door back on.
Phil Nuxall, author of Stories in the Grove. You're sharing your stories on Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7, 513-419-7100. Jim from Northern Kentucky, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, Jim.
Good afternoon. I would like to share with you that I'm an international architect, and we run programs over in the Ukraine and Russia. I know it seems like a little difficult now, but under the Marshall Plan, we've had international groups come to Cincinnati on a study tour from different countries. And one of the projects was I had 16 Ukrainian architects come and visit Cincinnati for 4 weeks. And one of the major sites of the tour of Cincinnati was the cemetery itself.
Yes.
They wanted to come and see the detail work in the architecture and also the history of the different areas within the gardens itself and all the representation of architecture over the country.
Weren't you proud to be able to tour them? That's
I stood
fantastic.
Proud and was able to show them American detailed work
yes.
in architecture.
Yes. Wow, that's fantastic.
Oh.
And it's a, you know, well, we've been talking about the architecture there, Phil, and that is it just amazing. The breadth of architecture and stonework that's there is something. We've already had two suggestions and, well, examples of people taking budding architects to Spring Grove. And thanks for your call, Jim, by the way.
Thanks, Jim. That's a great story. Samuel Hannaford, you know, the architect of Music Hall, City Hall, on and on and on. He was the architect, one of the major architects for the Norman Chapel. Elsner and Anderson, McLaughlin, you know, they're all represented in Spring Grove in one way or another. Yeah.
All right, Katie from Finneytown, you're on Cincinnati Edition. Do you have a question or want to share a story with Phil here?
Just a story. I've been going to Spring Grove Cemetery since I was 18 years old. I had my senior pictures taken there, and I know a ton of people that have had wedding and senior pictures there. We have been taking their tours, which are awesome, the Twilight Tours.
Love hearing that. Tours. Great.
The Beer Barons is my favorite.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, one time I was followed and almost accosted down there.
Oh, my goodness. Was it the swan?
I'm sorry?
One of the swans?
No, it wasn't a swan. It was just a very strange person who followed me while I was walking one day. Scared me so bad, I took off running, ran into a runner who was down there who walked me over to the office.
Good.
But that did not deter me. We still walk all the time. I meet
absolutely
all of the ladies in my family every Sunday morning, and we walk the 3.5K or the 3.5 miles.
Good for
every
you.
Every Sunday, even in the sub-zero, we walked in 16-degree temperature over the winter. And
Katie, that's my favorite time of year, winter, because I feel like I have the place to myself.
I love
winter, especially after a fresh blanket of snow. Oh, my gosh. It's so beautiful.
I've bundled up and walked in a snowstorm there before. So, yeah, it's great.
Well, we're kind of going back to Victorian times when there were so many people that visited Spring Grove. You had to have what was called a proprietor's ticket to prove you had someone buried in the cemetery. And if you didn't, you were not allowed in on the weekends. And we're kind of going back to that more and more people are walking, riding their bikes, taking hikes, painting. It's a park as well as a beautiful cemetery.
And we enjoy it as both.
So glad. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie. Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. Phil Nuxall's new book, Stories in the Grove, has quite a few stories about people who are buried there and about a lot of the beautiful architecture, the mausoleums and the monuments. It's available where books are sold. A link on our website, wvxu.org. And again, Phil will be at Joseph Beth on May 8th at 7 p.m. signing Stories in the Grove. 513-419-7100. Herb from Walnut Hills, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi.
Hi, Herb.
I'm a retired physician, and when I was in private practice, I used to do house calls at Spring Grove Cemetery. Because of the about 100 workers there, several of them lived on the premises.
Right.
And occasionally when they got sick, then they would need a physician. And it always amused my staff to be able to tell me, hey, Doc, you got to do a house call in the cemetery.
Oh, I want that story for the next book. That's fantastic.
Yeah. There were at least 100 people working there. Not all of them lived on the premises.
Correct.
It is a very big place, and it's also going to be my final destination.
Me too. I've got my spot. You know, Adolf Strauch, when he was the superintendent, he lived at the corner of Winton Road and, Gray Road.
Gray Road.
There was a huge house. A lot of people remember that. It's no longer there. But some of the workers, actually some of the gardeners lived on the second level of the old maintenance barn. There were apartments in there.
Wow.
As well as cattle and sheep. I mean, they had a lot going on.
Great stories in the book about that. And the maintenance barn and the likes. Herb, thank you very much for your call. And one more phone call before we go along. Matt from Pleasant Ridge, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, I was calling about, I believe it's the Dexter Family Mausoleum, the very gothic one there with the back facing the lake.
Correct.
Are they ever going to open that up to give tours of it or allow people in there to look at it at all?
Oh, my gosh. Would that not be great? Here's the situation. It is the proprietors of the lots. You know, if you own a lot and if you have a huge monument like the Dexter, it's the family's responsibility for the maintenance and the upkeep. The Dexter is in very poor condition. It's not even safe to go in. Like, I don't even think the people that work at Spring Grove go in there anymore. So my, you know, on my wish list is to maybe raise some funds, donations, what have you, endowments to preserve that magnificent piece of architecture. It would be horrible, a shame to lose that. But that's the reason that nobody's allowed inside. Now, in the first book, Beauty in the Grove, I do have a photograph of the upstairs unfinished red brick chapel. And there's also a photo, I think, of the crypts underneath. So we have taken photographs of the interior.
All right, Matt, thanks for your question. And Phil, thanks for your time.
Love this.
Great stories and so many that they're there in Spring Grove. And thanks for sharing them in your book.
My pleasure.
Phil Nuxall, the author of the book Stories in the Grove, published by Orange Fraser Press. You visit WVXU.org for more information and for a link to the book. He will be at Joseph Beth Booksellers May 8th at 7 p.m. for a book signing. Just ahead on Cincinnati Edition, a new documentary about the Cincinnati Ballet Second Company. And later, private companies investing in putting a man on Mars. It's Cincinnati Edition on 91.7.